Well, what happened, they said to the steward of Joseph's house, we would never do anything like that. How could we ever steal? We even brought back the money that was returned to us, just in case it was some mistake. We want to be sure that everything is in order. We don't want anything that is not ours. We are honest people. And the steward says, let me search and find out. Let's prove. And they quickly take off the sacks and they untie, open the sacks, and they stand there. Why they didn't search themselves? Well, probably it would give a reason to the steward in the eyes of Jacob's sons to suspect them. If they are searching themselves, maybe they are trying to hide out something or hide away something. So they just stand still as true and really honest people. And the steward is searching from the oldest to the youngest. And he finds the cup in the sack of the youngest, of course, because the cup was placed there. Where could it be found? And so they rent their garments, their clothing, they put in a mess. Why? Because that was a sign of distress, an indication that it's just awful what happened to them. And so in such a condition, they come back to Joseph's house and they are just crushed. I cannot stop wondering and thinking what was in their minds. Did Judah and his brethren believe that Benjamin did steal the cup? Or did they feel deceived, tricked into something, falsely accused, and now they are going to be unjustly judged? Are they experiencing something of the experience that Joseph did experience when they grabbed him, stripped him of his garment, cast him into the pit, and then later on took him out, and still without his top garment, top coat, they sold him to go into a far land, to be a slave, and probably die very soon? Well, they come before Joseph and they fell down before him to the ground. Already their garments were torn and they look very desperate, and now they just cast themselves down to the ground before him. All of this indicates the condition of their heart and mind, but it also is designed to give a message to the governor of the land of Egypt. Perhaps he will have compassion on them if they really humble themselves down to the ground. And Judah said, what shall we say? Well, first, as they cast themselves down to the ground, apparently they were speechless for a moment. They wait for his first word. Well, Joseph did not treat them as Joseph was treated when Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife, that ugly, filthy woman. Joseph's master didn't talk to Joseph, apparently, just grabbed him and cast him into the prison. While Joseph is talking to his brothers, why, he has a lesson to teach them. The lesson is very hard. The lesson is harsh. The lesson is heartbreaking, but their hardened heart was not willing to learn in any other way but by heartbreaking. And so Joseph said, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Now what are the words that he is saying? He didn't say expressly, you have stolen my cup. Well, now first, they all did that deed, or Benjamin did it, or what is the accusation? Well, the accusation apparently goes all the way back to that ugly, awful crime that these murderers did commit. This accusation is not really directed directly against Benjamin, but against Judas and his brothers. They did an awful thing long, long ago. Could they not know that a man like Joseph can divine What does that mean? See the future that God has revealed to Joseph in his dreams, that their sheaves have to fall down before Joseph's sheaf. They should have thought, hey, how come our youngest or second youngest brother is dreaming this kind of dreams? Maybe the Lord is warning us that something is coming that we should be aware of or alert to. And so Judah, focusing on the thing that just happened, or perhaps having an outburst of the guilty conscience that was suppressed for so long, hiding and trying to help himself or get him away from the guilty conscience by forgetfulness or finding pleasures among the Gentiles, the hidden people, and a life that was anything but godly and moral pure. Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." Now, what did God find out? Did not God know everything all the time? Judas is becoming aware of God's knowledge, God's omnipotence. Perhaps Judas is focusing on the cup that was found in Benjamin's sack, possibly. It would be quite human, and I think that might be expected. But saying that God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, suppose that Benjamin did, or maybe Judas believed that Benjamin did steal away the cup. But then what has that to do with the rest of the brothers? Why is Judah offering a confession that might not agree with the evidence that Judah had? Well, first, the answer is agreeing with Joseph's question. What deed is this that ye, plural, ye have done? And Judah said, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, all of us. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Now this sounds to me like a desperate talk, like in the book of Judges, we know that awful story of the Levite that was attacked in Gibeah of Saul, of Benjamin, I'm sorry. And the host of the house said, "Do not commit such an awful thing, my brethren." He's talking to the wild, immoral, awful people of the city. And he says, "I have a daughter, and here is his wife. We will give them to you." Did this man give his daughter to these people? No. No, it was a desperate talk, an offer not to be accepted, an offer to generate, move some compassion. And Joseph answered, "God forbid that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant." This word "servant" is not exactly what it means. It's a slave. Someone who has no recourse. He is sealed for the rest of his life in his terrible predicament. He will be a slave. He will be treated as an animal, as a piece of furniture, as a machine, as a tool, as the property of the slave owner. We see that when Potiphar, Joseph's master, received the accusation about Joseph. Joseph has nothing to say. He has no right to defend himself. He is not given any chance. Did they allow any rule of justice of some kind? No. No, they treated their own brother as a slave, as a thing that is lifeless, not a living soul that is precious in the sight of God. And so, now, they are in a situation very, very similar to that that they did to the other. And Joseph said, God forbid that I should do so. We see how the name of God is coming more frequently into their conversation. And maybe that will remind us that often the Lord will allow difficulties in our life, and sometimes those difficulties will persist and just hang in there, and we have to struggle and to suffer and all of that, that the name of God will be more often in our hearts, in our mind, in our prayers. So, the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, Joseph said. And as for you, get you in peace unto your father. Joseph is bringing everything into this picture. When they, long ago, Judah and his brethren, when they committed their sin against their brother, they committed sin against God. They also committed sin against their father. Everything is coming back. Everything is kind of crowding together, but everything is being placed in the proper place. Then Judah came near unto Joseph and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father and an old man, and the child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. See, they still stumble on that same thing. They cannot get rid of that wherever, whichever direction, whichever way they turn to, their sin is a stumbling block. They cannot make any progress until they openly confess, acknowledge their wrong, and separate them from their evil. So, he said, he's talking, he's pleading, he's almost lamenting here, I feel, talking to Joseph. His brother is dead. Oh, his brother is very much alive, and he is listening to this Judas version of the whole story. And the youngest one alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him so much. And thou, O Lord, thou saidst unto thy servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father, the father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. Now, they're bringing before Joseph the details, how they presented the whole thing to their father Jacob. Probably Joseph knew a good part of it, but now the details are coming before him, and Joseph's heart is aching, the pressure is growing, and the load on his mind is getting too heavy. Joseph is a gentleman. Joseph is a loving man. And yet, Joseph is forcing himself to treat his brothers this way because they need that. And Judah is talking. And if ye, the words of Jacob their father, and if ye take this youngest one also from me, and mischief befall him. Ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, now Judah presented the agony of their father, the grief of their father to Joseph, and now Judas is presenting his petition. He is going to ask for something, for a favor. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. What an expression. What an expression. It just reminds me of the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Now think about the Son on the cross. Who is suffering more, the Son or the Father? What a mystery. What an awful sacrifice. What an awesome deed of redemption. Now Jesus is talking, and he says, seeing that the life of the Father is bound up in the life of his Son, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. He cannot survive this agonizing grief. And now look at this. Judas is not saying to Joseph, and so my Lord will actually put to death my father. No. He says, Judah said, and thy servants, Judah and his brethren, thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Either Judah is blaming himself and his brethren for all that they did, or he's just accepting accusation and adding to it to somehow soften the heart of the governor of Egypt. And then Judah says, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, here is the petition. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? And now Judah stopped. He has brought up everything that he had to say. Now the decision is on the side of the governor of Egypt. But the governor of Egypt is only the governor on the outside. Inside he is still Joseph, their brother, and especially the brother of Benjamin. So, we know the story. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, everybody out. And of course, there is the steward, and there are the ruling servants, and working servants, and quickly the room is vacated there, all out. Only Joseph and his brethren are there. And Joseph could not speak. He wept aloud. Aloud. So loud that the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. What was the distance? How far was it? But Joseph's crying, weeping, was very loud. What did his brothers think at that moment? Why is the governor of Egypt crying? And then, after that first outburst of emotion was somehow unloaded to some extent, Joseph managed to say the first words to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Now, at that moment they cannot talk. They cannot even think. How can it be? How can it be? I wonder, remember that record of Herod the king making a speech to the people and the people shouting, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." At that moment an angel of the Lord hit him and he was eaten up by worms. I wonder, did Herod have any time to think? Was he shocked at the moment, or was he dead so quickly, or unconscious, or what happened? But I just feel that these men, Judah and his brothers, were astonished. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near unto me, I pray you." And they came near. They're apparently walking mechanically. They obey what he says, but they're still paralyzed. And he said, "I'm Joseph, your brother." As if somebody is trying to wake up the people. He says, "I'm Joseph, your brother. Do you hear me? Do you understand what I say? I'm Joseph, whom ye sold into Egypt." He acknowledged their sin. They did not. But then, I wonder if they did not regret, if they did not repent, if their heart did not change since the time they were here first time. Reuben said, remember how we were merciless to our brother. Now the Lord is seeking his blood from our hands. Since that time, did something work in the hearts of these men? But the first message, the first judgment of Joseph is, "Now therefore, be not grieved." Be not grieved. Do we remember the prodigal son when he was coming? When he was in the far away land and thinking about his father's home, the prodigal son said to himself, "I'll go and I'll confess. I'll say, Father, I sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Accept me as a servant. Just give me a corner in that household." And when the prodigal son came to the father, he didn't say anything. He just didn't say anything. He planned to say it, but he could not. The first words or the first gesture was the father's. The father ran to meet the son and embraced him and kissed him. But here we find something that is showing, revealing, indicating from where and who did rule in Joseph's heart. Who was guiding Joseph? The first words are not from his brothers, but from himself. He said, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor be angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." This is the mystery and this is the revelation. How can Joseph forgive so much? Because he sees the hand of God in everything. And that should help us to forgive those that trespass against us. When we see the hand of God in everything that comes our way, even in the evil things that the people commit against us, the injustice, the hatred, when they despise us, when they are treacherous, when we are falsely accused and wrongly condemned, we should see the hand of God in all of that. God has a purpose. There is a message. Just hold on to the mercy of our God. So Joseph said, "God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Well, here is a simple truth, but here is also a deep, hidden truth, secret truth. It is true that God, that secret truth is that God did direct everything so that he would preserve life of the people that are chosen people. In spite of everything, they are chosen people. And so, the simple truth is that they did not send Joseph to Egypt. They just wanted to get rid of him. They first wanted to murder him, and then later on they decided, hey, it would be a good idea to get some money for his life. So Joseph said, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye. They're standing there still paralyzed, still astonished, and perhaps just started getting somewhat relieved of their fear, of their shock. And he says, haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, now Joseph is, after he told them the message for the father, he's talking to his brothers directly, and he says, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you, not any more interpreter. Now you can be sure that I am your brother Joseph. I speak your language, and I know everything about your family. Now, relax. Wake up. Come back. The past is past. It's over. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And then, after this message, Joseph fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Yeah, there are those feelings and emotions that we have no words for, only tears. And Benjamin wept upon Joseph's neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. So apparently the past is past. Now comes the concern for the future. They go back. They go back and they bring a lot of presents, gifts, and all kind of things. And they come to their father Jacob. As Joseph sent them away, he said, see that ye fall not out by the way. Do not criticize one another. Do not condemn one another. Go like brothers and just think about what you are to do and bring all that you have into the land of Egypt. And they went out. I'm reading from the verse 25 of the chapter 45. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. What did he think? He felt that they want to trick him to go into the land of Egypt, I guess. He did not believe them. Now, why he did not believe them? Benjamin is back, Simeon is back, everybody is here. Only Joseph is not here, and Joseph is the governor of the land of Egypt. But the change is so sudden and so great, it's just incredible, impossible to believe. And yet it is the fact, it is the truth. And they told Jacob all the words of Joseph, everything, the whole message they delivered to their father. What did they tell him? It is not us that sold him into Egypt, that sent him into Egypt. It was the God's hand. We did evil thing, but God meant something good for all of us. So, they had to tell their father Jacob every word, everything that Joseph told them. All the words which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, when Jacob saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the father Jacob, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. How wonderful. It's so wonderful that he didn't die before he met Joseph, his son. And Israel said, enough. Sufficient. Joseph, my son, yet alive, I will go and see him before I die. The last earthly journey of Israel. The last one. The time when he is weaker than ever before, and the presence of God is just as strong as ever. So they come to the land of Egypt, and Jacob met his son Joseph, and then Jacob said, now let me die. Somehow that reminds me of Simeon in the temple of in Jerusalem. When Simeon came there, led by the Spirit of the Lord, and Simeon took the baby, the child Jesus, into his hands, his arms, and he said to the Lord, now, Lord, thou lettest thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. When Jacob saw Joseph as the governor in the land of Egypt, Jacob was comforted, and he said, there is nothing else I expect as wonderful and as great in my life on earth. I am ready to depart. The Lord has comforted me. The Lord has revealed his goodness and mercy. God is gracious. God is great. Now I can depart in peace. Well, my prayer is that the Lord would bless his word and make his word so strong, so powerful, so meaningful in our daily walk, in our hearts, in our minds, so that every part of the way, every day of our earthly journey, every step of our pilgrimage, we can experience that situation, that condition of our heart. The Lord is great, the Lord is wonderful. His salvation is sure and secured. He has done everything according to his good and pleasant will. I am ready to live with him and to die with him. For to live, the Apostle Paul said, for to live for me is Christ, and to die is greater, to go and be with the Lord. May the Lord bless his word, and he himself exalt and honor his Son, Jesus Christ, in our daily walk.